Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
All right, here we go. 3:37 at WGCL. There's no evidence of any rain that took place downtown.
None downtown. It's dry out there.
It's kind of like spin the wheel. Marlin Hills gets it one night. Downtown gets it one afternoon.
And watching the radar is just frustrating as it boils up around you and then
fake.
Disappears.
How does that happen? And why does it just happen here? I don't know. It's good. It's warm and humid, but it's not hot and humid as we've dealt with maybe in the last couple of days. It was very steamy last night a little bit as well. But again, follow along. Updated forecast live radar. You can find it at WGCLradio.com. A very busy Wednesday, and we get started where? Well, at Indiana University. It's three big things at IU, and it's our great friend Chuck Carney. Chuck, good afternoon. Dr. Chuck, are you back in action?
I am back in action, and I want to say off the bat.
Oh, listen how refreshed he is. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I've had terrible connection issues online today. I've had a few of these calls drop out. So if I drop out, I'm going to use a radio term here, vamp for a moment, and I should be back.
Okay, good. And you can always pick up the phone and dial in if you want to do that just in case as well. Well, number one, how was your vacation? Let's get the important stuff out of the way.
Well, I spent much of it in the very room where you, the audience doesn't see me, but you see me right now. I'm all at home, of course, but was able to ignore things for the most part. I call it a successful week off when I only had two meetings. So that's how my weeks off go.
Chuck, my big question was, what are you wearing? Right? We need to know what you're wearing. It tells us how your day went.
Well, it's a Donna Karen. I'll just put it. Yeah, no, it's you can tell I'm somewhere in between on the seriousness level today because I don't have a tie on, but I have a jacket on.
And, so it's casual serious.
It's casual serious and lapel pin with the logo, with the IU.
Okay, absolutely. There you go.
That's an identifier, a brand awareness product, obviously. Now, we do three big things at IU with Chuck every Wednesday. Now, is it six big things this week because we missed you last week? Do we put this on layaway or back order? Do we credit my account at some point? How does this work?
I'll just speak very quickly. It'll be twice as fast.
And carry a small stick so we can get through all the topics that we are dealing with today.
Well, hey, I've got one big question.
Yeah,
right
fire
off
away.
The bat. Purdue just announced that they're going to start requiring COVID testing for their new students coming back. What's IU going to do?
Well, we are still discussing exactly what's going to be carried out, but I will tell you that guidance will be coming in the next couple of days. So you'll hear more details from us on that, and we will communicate that directly with parents and students as we have that. But we're pretty close to announcing what our process is going to be, and that won't be very long from now.
The guidance you speak of, is that from your group of campus leaders, CDC, Dr. Box, all of the above?
Well, it's from our campus leaders, but following very closely the CDC and state guidelines for this. So we're working very much in concert with the state, but also following the guidelines that have been issued by the CDC. So we're going to do what we need to do along with best practices that are recommended for making sure everybody is safe.
Is it good news or bad news, Chuck Carney, the doctor, who joins us every Wednesday? Is it good news or bad news? We haven't heard what, or maybe I've missed it. What's this going to cost if you had to go down this path of testing 45,000 odd students more than once a week, twice a month? I don't even know what we're talking about here, but do you have a pot of gold somewhere that's hiding that's going to cover all this?
Well, it's a question that it's not that we've been trying to not answer. It's just this is not something that we did, in the last decade or 20 years ago. This is not something that's really happened in our history. So we don't have an answer on that, not knowing how long the conditions that we're in are going to last. It's really hard to put a price tag on it. But, the real answer is that we have to do what we have to do. Obviously, some resources are moved into other areas and away from from other things, but we do have the, we went into this matter with a budget. In other words, we had handled our finances very well. We are in a position where we can do things that we need to do to make sure we operate in as safe a manner as we can. So it's something that we just simply have to do. And of course, there are some things that have helped from the federal level with the funds that were sent to help students in particular. So that helps in keeping students persisting in their degree careers. Things like that are a factor, but it's not cheap. There's no doubt about it, but we just simply have to go about the business.
Yeah, safety has to be the first order of the day, we would think. Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest, Director of Media Relations for Indiana University, the entire campus system, just not here in Bloomington. And there was a ruling that came out, what was it, earlier in the week, with foreign students' visas. Tell me about this, because this is not my area of expertise. What does it mean for students that are here in Bloomington? And what does it mean for students who are overseas, perhaps thinking about coming back to Bloomington or anywhere on the IU network of campuses?
Yeah, so the Department of Homeland Security issued guidance on visa status for international students. And these are students who have F1 status, and that's just a particular kind of visa status that they have that allows them to study in the United States. Under this ruling, the guidance is that a student must take an in-person class, cannot take all online classes and continue to stay in the United States. So that obviously has a huge impact on our student base. It's something that really presents a level of uncertainty for a lot of students. And to give you an idea of how many students we're talking about, in the fall of 2019, IU Bloomington had 4,683 F1 visa students. This is coming, of course, about a month before students need to get back to campus for in-person instruction. We have not yet announced exactly how many classes that students have signed up for may be online or in person, what the mix will be. So if a student has signed up for classes that end up being all online for some reason, which would, I would say, would be not likely, but it is possible, they would need to then quickly shift to taking at least one class in person. So it's not something that we are pleased that has been, that has come down this late, this close to the start of the semester. It creates a situation which is really unconscionable for our students who are in this situation. Refer everybody to our news.iu.edu website, where our vice president for our vice president for international affairs, Hannah Buxbaum, has a statement going into detail about this. And she speaks very eloquently about it. But it's a tough situation for these students, and it is a huge matter for all universities who have international populations. We're certainly not alone.
Who enforces that? Does Indiana University have to go through and call everybody and say, well, since you're not taking any in-person classes, you need to leave? I don't know how this works at all.
Well, what we can do is we really are counseling our students on trying to make sure that they are in compliance with these regulations. Now, how that will be enforced, I don't think anyone exactly knows at this point. Obviously, it's impractical from just a manpower standpoint for them to be checking on each and every student and act on each and every student. But our job is to make sure that those students are in compliance. And so we'll be working closely with them. And that has been something our Office of International Services has been diligently working on. They have really been poring over this week.
Chuck Carney is our guest, the doctor, checking in. Three big things at Indiana University. Have you been on the Twitterverse today? Did you see the big news out of Stanford this afternoon?
I did. They're dropping, what is it, 11?
11 sports. That's Stanford. Sports. You should see the look on Kellum's face right now when I said that. Well, they've won the Director's Cup. Are you familiar with what that is? The Director's Cup in college athletics is the program that wins the most points, championships, whatever, in a certain year.
So like for the entire athletic program.
Yeah, so like all, we talk about 24
right, exactly.
Sports, one team.
Yes.
Well, Stanford's whatever sports they are, 38 sports, one team, they win the Director's Cup almost annually because they win four national championships and finish second year. They've cut in Stanford. When you think about Stanford, you think of what? Not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Leland,
right.
Stanford's farm, et cetera. Well, they have 38 sports. They're cutting 11 sports.
Wow.
11. And that is the Harvard of the West, Chuck Carney. Is that correct?
That line, by the way, reminds me of David Letterman's line about Ball State as the Harvard of Muncie.
Right.
Not that's David Letterman's line. That's not mine. But
right.
it's that's sort of scary. Obviously,
does that bring a different reality to maybe the common fan, or maybe not the biggest sports fan? But if you it's one thing if Harvard says, hey, we're not playing football. It's like, okay, big deal. Were you ever playing football? You're not playing Notre Dame on Saturday. But when Stanford comes out and says, we're slashing, what is that, 20% of their, 25% of their, 27%? Oh, don't do math on the air, Glass. Don't do math on the air. that's a lot from a big-time university. It's a different set of circumstances.
And it's why we have smart people like Fred Glass, now Scott Dolson, are in these positions, because that's tough. How do you continue on without fans in the stands, and you've already lost seasons? It is really, really a difficult time for programs that are on the margins, for sure. But it also tells you how difficult it is to keep those operations going at the high levels. It's and these are student athletes. I think the thing to bear in mind is that we're talking about loss of scholarship opportunities for students to go to one of the great schools in the world, and that's a tough thing too. Somebody getting in the I forget which programs I think rowing was one of them.
Yeah, sailing or something.
Rowing or synchronized swimming to Stanford, and you get an education out of that. How great is that? So I think that people should think about it that way, that it's why universities really have to rely on generosity for people to give in a lot of ways for a lot of the athletic programs. But of course, the university itself, these are different times for sure.
Discontinued. That's not suspended, not paused.
So that would make you think that they're not coming back. They're actually dropping
not,
all.
I'm reading
sports.
The press release right now. It is not. They are discontinued at the varsity level. So they can come back as club sports. Somebody else wants to pay for them.
Right.
That's how it works. Just to give you men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed, and women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, as Chuck mentioned, men's volleyball, and wrestling. So it's just not some boutique sports like sailing or equestrian. There's some real – 240 athletes and 22 coaches. Don't forget about the coaches and support staff that work for all these programs as well. So if you're just joining us, Stanford University – yes, that Stanford has cut 11 of their 38 programs.
That's what you said.
Maybe say a little top-heavy to start with, but that's real life right now. On the Skype Zoom machine with us, this is 22nd century radio here, Chuck Carney, the doctor from Indiana University. And while everything isn't going on and things are trying to get started back up, we had been talking before your hiatus vacation about the renaming of some buildings, including anything with the name Jordan on it. Is there any update on where that's going?
Well, an announcement came out that there is a committee that is specifically focused on the Jordan-named buildings and even Jordan Avenue, which IU owns part of. And those are now under specific consideration. And so there's a report that will be completed by September from that committee that will be handed to President McRobbie, and a decision will be made at that point. This, as many people probably know, is the most contentious of names that people have pointed out on the IU campus. David Starr Jordan, who was the president of Stanford after he left Indiana University, was known for his views on eugenics. And it is something that a lot of people have pointed out as incompatible with the educational mission of Indiana University, despite what the David Starr Jordan history is with Indiana University. And that goes back, of course, to the very start. But his name is on Jordan Hall. The biology faculty, for one, in Bloomington have written a letter supporting a change of the name where their program is housed. And so this is going to be taken, obviously, as seriously as it could possibly be taken. And it's a positive step towards considering this name change. Now, I'm not predicting what the outcome of that will be, but they are taking a very serious look at it, and a report will come in September.
And Chuck, I'm reading an article right now on the HoosierTimes.com website from Ernest Rollins about local health officials. Say a new local health order is in the works, would likely have face covering requirements. Are you as a university bound by what Monroe County does because that's the final say, or are you your own independent planet rotating within the universe of Monroe County?
Well, we work with Monroe County on all of these matters, so we're coordinating with them. But regardless of what the county order would be, we're requiring masks to be worn in buildings and in situations where our people would be close together, and we're going to be practicing things where there is a limited amount of people in any building at any one time. So I think it's fair to say that we will be coordinating with them all the way along. So there won't be, it won't be something where Monroe County would issue something we wouldn't be aware of and wouldn't be prepared to act upon as we need to. Those discussions have been going on for, I would say, since January about how to react to this particular virus.
She said, as Penny Cottle, the Monroe County Health Administrator, she hopes to have more information to share at Friday's weekly news conference. That starts about, what, 1:15 on Fridays? So wink, wink, knock, knock. Somebody brought this to my attention last night. And it seems like they always give the trial balloons out to the businesses, so they're ready to go if something like this needs to move a little bit quicker. What's good in the garden, buddy?
Well, I didn't have to water the plants that are outside my office window here, which was nice for once.
I don't know what this rain is you guys keep
setting a hose. Yeah,
you got to move to Marlin Hills, baby.
I understand it's two parts of oxygen and hydrogen is involved there.
It's a myth.
I've done a little landscaping work during the time off, but nothing that I would say anybody else would be proud of, but I am. It looks better anyway.
Well, that's good. Last 7 days, we've gotten 0.7 inches. That's about half the amount we've gotten the entire month of June, plus the first 6 days in July. So it's better.
Dry.
It's better. And we got it today. So it depends where you're at. You need to move near the rain gauge then. Quit goofing around
over the airport.
Move to the airport. Or move to Marlin Hills. They got wet. We got wet yesterday and today. So that's good. Chuck's getting wet. You're going to be back next week as well. I have a feeling we'll have more to talk about.
I will be here. I'm certain we'll have something to talk about.
And how about that? We just did 20 minutes of radio and not one Zoom interruption.
That's good.
All right. So that's like when I say it's not going to rain, come on, and then the rain happens. Yeah. You said we're going to have...
That's why I said it out loud at the beginning of this.
That's it. That covers all of our bases. Great job, my friend. Thank you so much for your insight, and we'll do it all again next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you.
Chuck Carney, Dr. Chuck Carney, from Indiana University, the Director of Media Relations. We'll